Hi, this is Blaine Parker. Thanks for joining me and Honey Parker in the Big Bad Branding Teleseminars. What you're about to hear is a replay of the second teleseminar, Pulling Your Brand Out Across All Your Media, originally recorded on Wednesday, June 5th, 2013.
So, welcome to the second in the Bigger, Badder Branding Teleseminar series. Before we start with the meat of the teleseminar, we wanted to talk about something that normally we wouldn't really worry about right now, but this is such an aggressive and driven group, and so many of you are already working on names and taglines that we wanted to talk about names and taglines. And, honey, I think you really had something you wanted to say about this.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, amazed at how everybody's pushing the ball forward, which is really kind of exciting. And again, most groups haven't been quite this aggressive. So we just want to make sure that everybody's doing everything in the right order so they get the most out of it. And, you know, so it's so exciting to want to just get in and jump in and figure out what your new name is and what your tagline is. But it really is the smartest approach if you make sure you understand what that core thought is that you're trying to get across to your core customer. You know, how do you want them to feel? Because once you figure that out, the names will make more sense. I mean, if you think about, you know, at GBS we talked about our client Salt. If we didn't take the time to understand what their core customer really needed to hear from them, we would have never gotten to that name. I mean, what we did was we realized that for them, and again, they were dental practice management, that dentists were really tired of being told, hey, you're doing everything wrong. I mean, these are people who have a lot of schooling, and, you know, if you're a really good dentist, you're a very skilled person. So to have somebody come in and say, and here's everything you're doing wrong, is just not pleasant. So when we realized that what they did, that their approach is, you know what, we respect what you do, and we'd like to bring you these services to help your business grow, so we're going to take what you do and improve it, that let us get to a name like Salt, you know, because Salt, you know, if you put salt on something tasty, it elevates it to the next level. So that let us get to that. We would never have gotten there had we not have taken the time to really understand who we were talking to, what they didn't need to hear, what they did need to hear. So we just really can't impress enough that if you start that way, you'll get something even deeper, even more resonant.
Now, that's not to say that, you know, you salt is a name that came out of left field. Nobody was expecting it, and nobody ever does expect it to this day.
Yeah, that was truly, that was the most left-field name we've ever come up with.
You don't have to have a left-field name like that. You know, we've got represented on the call Alpha Male Supplements. And, you know, it's pretty obvious what they're selling. You know, and there's very much it's a what's in it for me kind of name, which is perfectly fine. There's no mystery about it. You know, it really is all going to depend on who you are, what you're selling, and how you're getting to your brand.
And the what's in it for me being the core customer, is crucial. Particularly once you get through your name and your tagline, if as a core customer I start to understand why I'm going to benefit, then you've really done a job.
So all that to say, names and taglines, they're great. Glad you all are working like crazy doing this. We just wanted to set that up so that you're thinking a little more about your brand when you're busy trying to come up with the name and the tagline. So, anything else to add, honey?
Only that, you know, once we had Salt, a tagline like Savor Success made sense. You know, instead of just Salt Dental Practice Management, we're going to help make you successful. So it wasn't so much about us. It was just about you and the end result. Savor, because it went with Salt. But really enjoy the fruit of all your labor.
And, you know, the Savor Success actually does elevate the proposition somewhat. You know, it kind of says that, you know, we understand that you are a cut above, that you are a smart enough guy to understand what it is we're bringing to you, and you are going to really embrace it and work with us to improve things. So now that we've addressed that, we're going to move on to the meat of tonight's teleseminar, which is pulling your brand through all your media. And as everyone remembers, your brand is the one way you want your core customer to feel about your business. Is that right, honey?
Yeah. So let's just assume now that you all have knocked your branding out of the park. You've done an amazing job. We're flashing forward to at least a week, but, you know, several weeks. And you've all done an amazing job. After you've done that amazing job, these are the next things that you need to consider.
So everything you say and do in your advertising, in your marketing, in your place of business, all of this needs to feed into that one feeling. So really what we're talking about here are tone and voice. Now, your brand focus and your tagline don't necessarily need to be the same thing. You know, we were just talking about salt. The brand is about working with dentists to build a better, more profitable dental practice. But the tagline is savor success. Now, besides elevating the notion of success, it also says something about their customer. As I was saying earlier, it assumes you're good enough to handle what they're going to tell you, and you're going to be able to make it work. You're sophisticated enough to rise to the challenge. Now, let's look at another brand that I believe we mentioned last week, and that brand is Motel 6. The brand focus of Motel 6 is about having the lowest price room of any national motel chain. But that isn't emotionally evocative. People don't feel something about the lowest price room of any national motel chain.
Well, actually, you may start to feel something, but it could be something negative. You know, lowest price motel room. I mean, start to think, oh, maybe they don't clean their towels. Maybe it's a little dirty.
Good point.
Those are not good things to think.
So, you know, the lowest price room is their USP, but what the Motel 6 brand makes people feel is that Motel 6 is the simple, folksy, welcoming place where we'll leave the light on for you.
I mean, that's been their tagline forever, and it's just a brilliant tagline because, you know, instead of saying, hey, we're open 24/7, which is, you know, why the light's always on, what they're saying is we care about you because who else would leave a light on for you except for somebody who cares about you, who knows that you're coming home. And for a business traveler who's going to stop at Motel 6 and then go to their next wherever, having somebody care enough to leave the light on for you is really a welcoming thought.
Now, the worst possible tagline would be, trust us, we care.
Yeah, trust us, never say trust us.
Yeah, don't do it. If you have to say it, it immediately comes into question.
Yeah.
Now, this whole thing we're talking about here with Motel 6 plays to tone. A lot of people think Tom Beaudet owns Motel 6. I'm shocked at how often this comes up. People have actually said this. Doesn't Tom Beaudet own Motel 6? He does not.
And very quickly, Tom Beaudet is the fellow that you hear saying we'll leave the light on for you.
I kind of figured everybody knows that because he always says this is Tom Beaudet from Motel 6.
Well, there you have it.
But the way Tom got that job, and it was 1986, I think, is when he actually was cast in that. That's when that campaign broke. He was a carpenter working in Alaska and sometimes doing commentary on NPR. And he got a phone call from the creative director at the Richards Group in Dallas. And they said, we want you to be the voice of Motel 6. And he said, why? And the creative director said, because you sound like the kind of guy who would stay at Motel 6. This is all keeping not only with brand consistency, but it's very specifically about tone. You know, you don't want some guy who sounds like this trying to sell you Motel 6.
Or somebody with a British accent.
Or that.
You know, it would just be completely incongruous. So once you know how you want people to feel about your business, that tone needs to reflect that feeling.
Yeah, the tone of your brand is going to inform the voice of your advertising. And your advertising will always have to have a voice, even if you're only doing a website and a brochure. Even though it's written, it has a voice. And if you're honest about who you are and what your brand is, that voice becomes much easier. And you never have to worry about being consistent if you're being authentic. And we cannot harp on this enough. Authenticity is key.
Because nobody can argue with it.
authenticity resonates. And no, you can't argue with it.
Yeah, if you're authentic, you know, let somebody try to tell you you're wrong. You're not wrong. But again, you know, if your advertising, if your marketing comes out of very solid branding, everything that you knocked out of the park already, then it starts to define itself. It lets you know what fits in, what would be viable as a piece of your marketing and what wouldn't.
Yeah, and also know this. You will definitely have a voice once you've figured out what your brand is. It'll be difficult to not have a voice, but you'll probably continue honing that voice over time. It's likely to evolve. It doesn't have to, but it can. And with everything you write, think about it as if it's going to be followed by your tagline. That really helps keep the voice consistent.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a silly trick, but it really works, and it'll let you know if your tweet or your billboard or your print ad or your brochure really fits into the brand that you've created.
You know, we played you and showed you some Dr. Sam's Eye Care in Los Angeles. Dr. Sam's Eye Care has a really folksy voice, which makes sense with Straight Talk Better Vision, which is his tagline. All things in Dr. Sam's advertising follow that Straight Talk Better Vision model, and it all makes sense with the tagline. You know, you heard some of his radio in Los Angeles. He's a very smart guy who's also very direct and speaks in easy-to-understand language, and it also follows in his print ads. We work Saturdays because you don't.
Straight Talk Better Vision.
Our screws don't fall out.
Straight Talk Better Vision.
New patients shouldn't have to pay more just for being new.
Straight Talk, Better Vision. You could do that with everything that we ran for Dr. Sam, whether it was print or direct mail, postcards, all of it.
Yeah, Dr. Sam doesn't speak in jargon, and he doesn't speak in bullet points, at least not anymore. Because he was actually very good at speaking in bullet points at one point.
You know, most people are.
It's
a sad pattern.
Well, it's because, you know, he went to school to be an eye doctor. He didn't go to school to be an advertiser. And everybody falls back to the lowest common denominator, which is, what do I say about my business? Well, these bullet points will work. You know, but now that he has a brand, his brand precludes the bullet point and the jargon.
And it lets him say things that will stand out to your ear because they're authentic.
You know, if he were going to do an advertisement about macular degeneration, he would never say something like this. He would never say, did you know that as you age, you become at risk for glaucoma, which can lead to macular degeneration, which occurs in a small portion of the retina located on the inside back layer of the eye, causing loss of central vision? Of course not. He couldn't. It wouldn't fit with Straight Talk Better Vision. There's nothing straight talk about that. You know, it's very jargony and very bullet pointy and very technical and not at all human.
Yeah, I mean, he's a doctor, so he's got all this jargon, but all of us in our separate businesses have our jargon that if you're on the inside, you use. But you're not talking to somebody on the inside.
Yeah, you know, if Dr. Sam were going to do an advertisement about macular degeneration, he would probably say something like, you know, if you're getting older, regular eye exams can make sure you keep seeing all the important things, like your grandkids. You know, his tone doesn't work with jargon, but it works with straight talk.
Better vision.
There you go.
Let me just wrap that up for you.
You know, even when we're writing his copy, you know, we say that his clinic is on Dunning Street, right there by the hospital, which is the language of his customer. We never say, conveniently located at, because nobody ever says conveniently located at.
No, not in casual conversation.
The only place you hear it is in advertising, which makes no sense.
Yeah, and again, if you're saying things that everybody else is saying, it's not going to stand out. But the better you understand your brand, when you get into your marketing, you can relax and not worry about having to sound like everybody else's ad. And once Dr. Sam knew his tone, it made sense to say, hey, we're right there by the hospital.
You know, we use the language of Dr. Sam, and equally important, we use the language of his customer. And
that's key.
All good advertising should be in the language of your customer, which makes actually a very nice segue to the next brand, which you may or may not know about. It's one of some of my favorite work, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Honey, would you like to carry the ball on this one?
Well, I believe we were together at the time, so maybe you had something.
Maybe I inspired it, but I think Jerry inspired it.
This is ExpressBet. And ExpressBet is online horse racing. So you can bet on horse races from the comfort of your own office, home, whatever. You don't have to be at the track. And, you know, when you're talking about really understanding the voice of the customer, the voice of the customer really became the voice of that brand. And for ExpressBet, what we really needed to let people know was not just we understand you, but we're one of you. And this was for, it wasn't for somebody who wanted to make like a one-time bet or somebody who wanted to put on their fancy hat and go to Saratoga or the Kentucky Derby.
Or for competitive equine paramutuals.
We would have never said that. Definitely not in the tone of our core customer. This is somebody who does this regularly, who really follows horse racing. I mean, just like some people follow baseball or football, there's this group that follows horse racing, and they're uniquely them.
As I understand from not only my wife but my father-in-law, racing fans, who are the core customer, are self-deprecating, and they joke about what it means to be at the track.
They're wonderfully self-deprecating, and they realize that they spend a lot of time in a building where people smoke cigars and the lighting's bad and people aren't dressed really well and it smells a little bit. It's not fancy time.
You know, I've been to Santa Anita, and it doesn't look anything like Churchill Downs. There's a lot of beige paint, and there's a lot of polyester clothing.
Yeah, I mean, they all kind of call themselves degenerates. I didn't actually realize this growing up that everybody did this, because my father would say, oh, I'm a degenerate, because he would, you know, put $2 on a race. And then when I moved and I met some other people who were very into horse racing, and I heard them call themselves degenerates, I thought, oh, okie doke. I mean, this is traveling all around. And it's a very similar tone between all these people. And once we understood that, the marketing really came together.
And, you know, all of the ads that were generated for ExpressBet really fit the brand voice, which is very similar to the voice of the core customer. And all of the ads reflect some aspect of the live experience. Shall I read this ad?
Sure. This was a print ad, by the way, so it's a longer headline.
Two terrible rides. The jockey let him get boxed in on the rail. My mother could have ridden him better. I'm in the office, log on, and see he's dropped in company 10-1. I'm on it like white on rice.
That's how they talk.
That's my father-in-law.
Meet my dad.
Yes, and he loves using, you know, cliches like white on rice. You know,
yeah.
I'm on it like white on rice. These were banner ads, these other ones?
The next ones, yeah, they were online banner ads. So people would just click through and go right to ExpressBet.
Whenever I miss the track, I just blow smoke in my own face.
ExpressBet keeps you in the game.
My favorite part of the track, not actually having to go to the track.
ExpressBet keeps you in the game.
If I wanted to stare at degenerates, I'd look in the mirror.
ExpressBet keeps you in the game. They loved this because they really felt like we got them, we knew them, and we appreciated them. And, it was very successful.
Now, for a long time, this is a similar kind of campaign, but a little less degenerate.
A lot less degenerate.
For a long time, DirecTV ran a campaign called Field of Joy. And it was about the joy of having DirecTV. And the humor in the campaign came out of the positive aspects of having DirecTV, whether it was basic satellite or NFL Sunday Ticket, which is very specialized, or DirecTV Internet. And Honey actually worked on the campaign for NFL Sunday Ticket. And again, some of my favorite advertising.
Well,
not just because she wrote it. shall I read the... these are all banner ads, right?
These communications were used a couple different ways. They were used in direct marketing and used online.
I forgot they were postcards.
Yeah, so, you know, you'll see a lot of this can be interchangeable. These could be tweets.
Yeah. So remember, this is NFL Sunday Ticket we're talking about. This is a premium package to get all the NFL games on your DirecTV. So on Sunday, all my friends are named Shut Up.
DirecTV Sunday Ticket. Feel the joy.
Let's face it. No one wants Figure Skating Sunday Ticket.
DirecTV Sunday Ticket. Feel the joy.
Am I obsessed? I don't know. Go ask my son, Field Goal.
DirecTV Sunday Ticket. Feel the joy. I mean, it was all about understanding somebody who is an uber football fan, who wanted every game, who didn't just want to watch the local game. They wanted to watch all the games, and why not? And so once we understood them, and again, we were – so I had stepped in once – it was established that it was Feel the Joy, and it was they wanted people to feel like, yes, we are all celebrating television to the nth degree. We are not somebody who's going to look down on you for watching too much television. Too much television doesn't exist. So, you know, once I understood that brand, speaking in that voice became very easy because I knew that it was just about celebrating as much football as you could possibly swallow.
Oh, God. Swallowing a football?
Well.
Oh, man. There's a little company that we do business with here in Park City. It's called Ooh La La.
And if you read the book, I believe we mentioned that.
Yes, so if you've read that far, maybe we're beating a dead horse here. Nonetheless, we're going to dive right into it. This is another one of our clients, and it's a great object lesson in creating a tone and a voice. The story is this, basically. We have a young woman who was working in a hair salon, which was kind of plodding along. But she was really enthusiastic, and the owner, who was kind of burned out and over the whole thing, offered to sell the salon to her, and she decided to buy it. So she's got this salon. And the logo is outdated, and the brand is kind of off-center. And we actually, in presentations, we have shown some of the advertising that she was running before we got involved. And invariably, somebody says, it looks like it's an escort service.
Well, there was a fair amount of purple, and there was a fair amount of zebra print, and sometimes there was purple zebra print.
And, you know, we couldn't change the name. You know, often when possible, we will change the name in a rebranding. But, you know, this is a small town. The business is really well established. It has a loyal existing customer base, and changing the name just really wasn't an option. But we were able to change the look and give the brand a tone and a voice. Now, the owner happens to be, is she over 6 feet tall?
No, she's just about 6 feet tall.
Yeah. She's tall, she's thin, she has lots of tattoos, and she colors her hair very dramatically.
She's actually a very pretty girl.
So the logo became a stylized heart with wings and almost could have been a logo for a tattoo parlor for women.
It could be a tattoo on her arm.
Yeah. And the tagline for Ooh La La is Love, Truth, Hair.
You know, what her brand became about was kind of hair philosophy. You know, we kind of became the philosophers of hair and look. And what was fun about it was it definitely was a little tongue-in-cheek because she realizes it's hair. It's philosophy, but it's hair.
Honey's going to hate it when I say this, but, you know, the truth is hair is just dead cells.
Yeah, I just hate hearing that.
And, you know, the brand simply cannot take itself too seriously. The core customer for the Ooh La La brand is a middle-aged woman who wants to feel hip and young. But the brand can't act too hip or too young because the core customer is still older and wealthier. But we can't dance at the edge there. And we developed a voice that keeps with that fun, edgy tone and has its tongue-in-cheek. And like Honey said, is a philosophy of hair that presents itself with a wink and a nudge. And all of the ads are of a voice that fits the brand. You know, we have a general ad about hair cutting. The headline is, Feed Your Head.
Love, Truth, Hair.
One for hair coloring. Deny Your Roots.
Love, Truth, Hair.
Now, they do eyelash extensions. So the ad for eyelash extensions, another one of my favorites, Eyelashes Don't Grow on Trees.
I actually got those extensions once, just to experience it.
Love, Truth, Hair.
Love, Truth, Hair.
And waxing. Wax on, wax off. Oh, and their accessories boutique. It really makes fun of the buy local movement. It's accessorize local.
Love truth hair.
The ads are fun, and all the headlines have actually been turned into little signs that are framed and put up in the front of the shop.
Yeah, actually, I love that. I mean, your marketing isn't just traditional marketing as people think about it.
Now, think about, you know, when you go into a hotel room and you've got that binder full of all the ads and stuff from local businesses. She's in one of those, and it doesn't look like another hair. You know, usually you'll see something like 15% off a haircut. You know, that'll be the headline. Hers say, because hair never takes a vacation.
Yeah, it's a resort town. It made a ton of sense. We put them in Marriott. Marriott was thrilled to have them in their books. And another thing that I want to point out, I mean, I think we're starting to get tone and how all of this feeds into your tagline. Each ad was for something different. You know, when we say your brand gets to be about one thing, everything gets to be about one thing. Every communication you make gets to be about one thing, whether it's a tweet or it's a television commercial. So each ad, there was an ad about coloring your hair. There was an ad about hair extensions. There was an ad about waxing. Each ad is about one thing because that's what people can focus on. If you start talking about everything, people just tend to glaze over because you have full lives. I mean, you know, I mean, you've got a lot on your list. So if I come at you with my list, you're just going to look away.
Yeah, we cannot beat on the concept of focus enough. And you know, if you've got multiple bullet points, you probably aren't focusing.
Yeah, I mean, do another ad, make another tweet. I mean, have everything fit under your brand umbrella and one communication at a time.
Now, hon, I think what I'm going to do here, if it's okay with you, is skip over this next section.
Okay.
Save that for another time.
Okay.
And we're going to dive right into something that is a challenge for many people who aren't professional writers, and actually for most professional writers. And that is how to decide what to say.
Mm.
And the blank page frightens everybody, including people who get paid very well to do this.
Yeah, starting can be daunting. I mean, I think you can see once you get a campaign going, once you get into that pattern, you really understand the parameters of the game, it's easier. But starting is a challenge.
So here's the way to jumpstart the process of deciding what to say. Go back to telling stories. Often, good advertising is actually just good storytelling. If you look at DirecTV, Feel the Joy is telling stories. You know, you've got all these people hugging their installers. You've got, you know, on Sunday, all my friends are named Shut
All
Up.
All my friends are named Shut Up. I mean, it's a very almost, dare I say, poetic way of telling a story because you can picture that person in the den focused on the game. The friends are over. The friends are trying to talk about something else, and that person just wants to hear the game.
Just shut up.
I mean, and you start to fill the story out, and that's a wonderful thing. I mean, because we all, as human beings, we all start to fill in blanks.
Yeah, stories can certainly ramble, but there's no reason they can't be that crystallized.
Yeah, give me a piece of the story, I will flesh it out, and then I'm involved in your marketing.
You know, Feel the Joy is telling stories. Salt Dental Practice Management is telling the story of what it means to be a successful dental practice.
Yeah.
You know, a story doesn't have to be long. A tweet is only 140 characters, and it can get even shorter than that. There is a legend about Ernest Hemingway. Nobody can prove this. It was actually him. But since the legend is it's Hemingway, we're going to go with that. And he was challenged to write a story in 6 words. He said, that's easy, because he's Ernest Hemingway.
Because he's Hemingway.
Here's his 6-word story. For sale, baby shoes, never used. That is only 33 characters, and it's intriguing, it's crushing, and it works, and you don't even want to guess what the story is behind it.
You start to fill it in. He certainly could have gone on for pages and pages and pages, but we get it. We get that there's something devastatingly sad here. And that's a story.
Yeah. Now, the next trick that we're going to talk about is something that I think we actually mentioned Hemingway in the Kill Your Advertising materials. And we definitely mentioned this in Kill Your Advertising. It's something that I've used when I'm stuck for something to write. And it's a great trick because it's so easy. If you have a problem figuring out what to say and how to say it, start by writing a letter to a close friend or a close relative.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, here's my chance to compliment Mr. Parker because he came up with this. And I think it's fantastic because not only are you telling a story, which we've already talked about how engaging that is, but when you know exactly who you're talking to, as we've said before, it really colors what you're saying. So if I know I'm talking to one friend, I might deliver something one way. If I'm talking to another friend, I might deliver something another. But the other fantastic thing is I stop worrying about having to be writerly because I'm really just talking to a friend. And when you're talking to a friend, you just sound like you. And so it's easier. And so that's a fantastic place to start.
Yeah, and when you do this, don't judge what you're writing while you're writing it. Just mm-hmm. write. Just free fall. Just let it all come out of your pen onto the page. You can do it at a keyboard, but I actually recommend doing it with a pen and paper because there's something about that tactile experience that just improves things.
Yeah, I mean, you can edit it later. I mean, remember in the room where we had everybody write a story, and then we said, okay, now we're going to get it down to 10 words. You know, that's some work. But you start with just write the story. Just get it out.
Yeah, you can, you know, later on you can hone what you've written by weeding out the extraneous stuff and then focusing on the nuggets. And, okay, if for some of you, writing is still going to be utter torture. just the idea of putting anything down on paper is mortifying.
So we're going to make it even easier.
If you have trouble writing, speak the story to someone. Figure out very clearly and simply what your story is. Honey had mentioned this last week.
Yeah, I mean, saying it out loud is so incredibly helpful because you start to listen to yourself and you start to hear, you know, maybe not so much this, maybe more that, and it starts, you really start to hear where the heart of your story is. You know, we had mentioned that we're starting a new business venture. When we were in LA, I had somebody who's a touchstone for me, and I told her what we were doing, and in telling her, I got closer to the heart of what I was doing.
You know, honey had mentioned a screenwriter who does this. The screenwriter was actually Paul Schrader. And he's the guy who wrote Taxi Driver. And he does this. He tells his story to people, and he did it with Taxi Driver. He told the story to people repeatedly before he wrote it, and it made him hone in and focus on what really mattered. And that movie was, I mean, it just made careers. You know, it was fabulous.
Yeah, so definitely take that weight off of yourself of having to get everything right the first time. Because, you know, if an Oscar-winning screenwriter tells it a bunch of times before he's even willing to put pen to paper, you can too.
Yeah.
You know.
And here's something else. If you have really interesting true stories, those can actually become advertisements.
Mm.
You know, you've heard and read Dr. Sam, you know, the story about the screws not falling out of glasses he sells, totally true. The story about the kid who gets his glasses and finally sees the wires on the telephone poles for the first time, totally true. And these are stories that will resonate with his core customer, who is rural New England mom.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. When we first started interviewing Dr. Sam, he was really kind of very flat in everything he said, and he was just presenting information. And then when he started telling the story of this kid who saw telephone wires for the first time, he lit up. I mean, he was charged, and all of a sudden, the entire brand was filled with a totally different energy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if any of you have seen the last generation of the Les Schwab tire commercials. They're a chain of tire stores. And if you haven't seen them, go online and go to YouTube and look at them. The entire campaign was true stories. It was all about, the brand is all about service that goes the extra mile. And for a long time, every TV commercial was a real customer telling a true story about how a Les Schwab employee went the extra mile.
Mm.
You know, true stories are honest and people can connect with them.
Yeah, and it's so engaging. Some of the most engaging language in the world is once upon a time.
It, those four words, when you say once upon a time, people pay attention.
People say, what happened? I mean, I find myself doing it. As soon as, you know, I'm a sucker for it every time. Because not only are you going to hear that something happened, but it's going to be a story. Once upon a time, there was this person, they had this hurdle, and they overcame it that way. And then you're like, yay, good for them. It's a happy thing.
Now, you know, we were saying the DirecTV ads are stories. They might not be true stories, but they're quite possibly based on true stories. Somewhere out there is some guy who wants to hug his satellite installer, and they did stories about this. You know, Honey's got this friend who, when she got DirecTV, would get on the phone and start making phone calls about how fabulous her DirecTV and her DVR were.
She would start evangelizing about it, and then she'd tell me, you know, I only have 15% space left on my DVR because she had so much television and not enough time in the day to watch it. But she was that over-the-top joyous about it.
And, you know, that can be the nugget of a fictional story. You know, used for a fictional story. It's what Honey likes to call positive exaggeration.
It's and definitely write that down. Write down positive exaggeration. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. But it's a brilliant.
That's because Honey coined the phrase.
Because I made it up. But it stands for something that's so brilliant if you can employ it in your marketing. So it's something. It's an exaggeration. So something happened. Something real, honest, that nobody can argue with, happened. And what you're doing is you're heightening it in a positive way. Now, we've all seen advertising and marketing that's made fun of the negative. It's, you know, you do it wrong and this can happen. Wah, wah. And don't do it that way, do it with us. You know, and that's, I don't really get why to go to you other than this other person is a big knucklehead, and that's what I'm thinking about because you spent 20 seconds telling me about that.
You know, when you try to sell what you're not in the interest of being funny, you're not selling yourself. You're merely selling what you're not, and there's nothing in it for me.
Yeah, and again, look, you can find an award-winning marketer who's found a way to do that. But why? You know, this, if you can come up with a really good positive exaggeration of something from your business, fantastic. I'm thinking about you the whole time and in a really good way.
Now, you know, one of our favorite advertising stories, story ads, isn't necessarily a true story, but it's a story based on the truth of the product. There's a 1960s Volkswagen advertisement. This is back when all they had was the Beetle. And the print ad was, did you ever wonder how the man who drives the snowplow drives to the snowplow? Love it.
It's a little VW. And the truth that they were exaggerating from is a VW does really well in snow because it's incredibly light and the engine's in the back.
Yeah, my dad had a 1964 VW Bug and he loved it. He always bragged about what a great snow car it was. He never even got snow tires, which seems a little crazy, but
so, you know, it's kind of like their version of being a man's man. It's the snow traveling vehicle.
And they made a TV commercial out of this. And the TV commercial is 60 seconds long, and the only thing the announcer ever says is, did you ever wonder how the man who drives the snowplow drives to the snowplow? The rest of the commercial is images of this VW driving through the snow to get to the snowplow.
It's a little story, and it's wonderful.
Now, one of the businesses represented on this call is a toxic waste disposal company, as I'm sure we all know by now. True stories could very easily be at the core of Angie's marketing, but so could positive exaggeration. If she were to position the business as a kind of a superhero brand, it would be possible to elevate the stories to be tales of extraordinary do-gooding in toxic waste disposal.
Yeah, and we're not saying, you know, one way is better over the other without really getting into the brand, but it certainly is an option, and it helps you understand how you can create something when you're sitting at a blank page.
Yeah, you know, the same goes for alpha male supplements. True stories could definitely work. So could exaggerations of the true stories.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's right for a positive exaggeration.
Yeah. You know, there's
handled correctly.
Yeah. Also, you know, our third act, which we've discussed, that is ripe for true stories.
That's fantastic for true stories. I think you're going to find a lot of inspiration there, a lot of reality, and a lot of things that people in that category can relate to.
Yeah. You know, I you could certainly exaggerate them, but frankly, I don't know that I would. I think the true stories could be really resonant and just wouldn't need exaggeration. It might not even be as good if they were exaggerated.
I agree.
You know, speaking personally, I usually prefer the unvarnished truth unless there's a really good reason to go the other direction. But you have to be careful because if you go too far, it can be a turnoff. There's a plumber locally here who positions himself as a kind of a cartoon superhero with a sidekick dog, and they're always having nutty conversations on the radio. And I really find it annoying, personally, but I'm sure it resonates with a certain demographic. I'm not the guy. You know, I personally much prefer the guy we mentioned last week in Los Angeles, whose name is Mike Diamond, the on-time, good-smelling plumber. You know, it's an authentic, organic truth, and he doesn't need to exaggerate it.
Yeah, I mean, organic truth is another great thing to focus on for your marketing. I mean, the truth is, Mike Diamond Plumbing, it's very important to them that their service people don't smell in any way like you might imagine a service person might smell. And he'll send somebody home and have them changed before they go out on a job.
Yeah, if they show up at work and they smell, they're sent home.
And that's just the truth. And it's not something you're used to hearing from a plumber. So, again, it's the truth. He can't argue with it. It's not something you're used to hearing, so it stands out. And it's insanely positive.
You know, last week we mentioned our roofing contractor in Los Angeles who kind of wrote an ad while we were talking to him. He said, "When it rains, I sleep just fine."
We thought that was brilliant.
That is an unvarnished organic truth. Now, it could be exaggerated. He could be depicted in the advertising as utterly unwakeable when it rains. You know, when we built our house here, we worked with a contractor that just thrilled us. His name is Jeff Jensen. And the reason we worked with him was because our neighbor had built a house, and he recommended him. And he basically wrote an ad in his recommendation. He said, "Well, okay, here's what happened. When my house was finished being built, the first person I had over for dinner was Jeff Jensen." You know, that could be an advertisement.
That spoke volumes. And notice, he didn't give us any facts about building. He told us how he felt about this man.
Yeah, the brand could become the contractor who builds every house as if it were his own. And, you know, the ads could say things like, "When my house was finished being built, the first person I had over for dinner was Jeff Jensen." Or Honey has a line, "I will never build another house without Jeff Jensen."
Which is the truth.
Jeff Jensen Construction. Tagline, building every house as if it were our own. Now, a positive exaggeration of that story could be there's a customer who's having a house built and is always baking cookies and pies for the contractor, or is naming all the children after the contractor, like George Foreman. You know, all George Foreman's kids are named George.
Named George, and they get a number. And I actually love that because it goes beyond just, "I named my kid Jeff Jensen." I named every child, even the girls, Jeff Jensen.
You know, either direction could become a print ad, a postcard, a radio commercial, a TV commercial.
Tweet, a video, you know, YouTube.
And the tone and the voice could easily be made consistent. But note that every single communication we have discussed here is about the customer and what's in it for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always a benefit for the person that's being marketed to. One of the biggest pitfalls in small business advertising, the way we see it, is saying, we. You know, look at us. Look at our bullet points. Every advertisement should be saying, you. What's in it for you?
Yeah, I would really try to avoid the word we in your tagline. It's amazing how many taglines out there use it. And it's a mistake. If you can write a tagline without using the word we, you've done something.
Yeah. Which leads us back to
focus.
The F word. Yes, focus. We talked about this last week. We harped on it. We're going to harp on it some more.
You're a hopper.
I'm a hopper. Focus is key. One of the ways you keep your brand voice consistent is by not trying to do too many things in one advertisement or one communication.
And two things are too many things.
Yeah.
You get one. That's our favorite number, one.
I'll tell you something. As a copywriter who has literally written thousands of advertisements, the most excruciating experiences I've ever had are when people have forced me to write about two things.
Yeah.
It's painful. Almost everything you say in an ad, a social media post, a commercial, a billboard, all of it. Make it about one thing. Now, I know brochures can be about more than one thing, but even in a brochure, which has more than one thing, they should all fall under one heading.
Yeah, it's a brochure is really about one thing, but it's able to dig in a lot deeper and give you a lot more facts about that one thing.
For example, we make it incredibly easy for you to dispose of your toxic waste. Here's how we do it, followed by all the many things.
Yeah.
Now, doing any static visual ad, print, flyers, billboards, postcards, you also require focus. You require visual focus. It has to look like it's one thing. Print is a guided tour, and Honey cannot harp on this enough as the art director.
Because I'm a hoppy. Definitely. I mean, it's a really good way to think about any printed material, even your website, something exists online, anything that's visual. Should be like a guided tour. You're taking your core customer by the hand and walking them through your communication in order. And I would really try to keep your elements 2-3. You know, you've got the where you want them to start, the middle of it, and the finish. So where you want them to start could be the headline. And then you've got some body copy. And then you've got a tagline, or you've got a headline and an image and a logo. Really try to focus on three elements or three steps in their course through your material. Because if you start, and everybody loves to do this, cramming in, well, you know, I want to put a starburst here because I don't want them to miss it, that we're open on these hours. And I'm going to put an arrow here because I want to make sure that they know that we like dogs. And, you know, I'm going to put this in a box because I want to make sure they know that we have our seminar. And it's too much. And the problem is, just like when you try to tell somebody too much, when you try to show somebody too much, it's visual noise. And we as humans are repelled by that, which is kind of the opposite of what we want to do. So what you want to do is take somebody by the hand and say, start here with a big idea. Here's what you need to know about it. Come see me.
You know, I don't think there's a better metaphor for the concept of focus than the billboard. Because it so needs to be done properly, and so many people screw it up. And I had an experience in L.A. that was just floored me. I was driving home from work, and I had a Miata because you're in L.A. You need to have a convertible, sport suspension, low profile tires. And I'm driving home with the top down, and you know, heavy traffic at Western and Melrose. So I'm stopped at the light, and I'm sitting there for a while, and I look up, and there's a billboard. And I go, what the hell is that for? It's got like 50 words of copy on it. It's been divided down the middle, so it's got two panels. And I'm looking at it going, where the hell is the focus? This is a mess. I think I had to look at it for 30 seconds before I realized what I was seeing was an advertisement for the Billboard Awards at the House of Blues.
That was shocking.
Yeah, it's crazy. And another billboard experience that we had, we were driving to Los Angeles from here, and we were going along I-15 through Barstow. And all of a sudden, you start seeing just, it seems like dozens and dozens of billboards for doctors who offer lap band procedures. And they're pretty much all the same. You know, there's no focus. There's no core customer other than fat people. And, you know, they're loaded with bullet points. Any one of them could have been for any one of the other advertisers. It was absolutely useless. There's no focus at all. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, why are there so many lap band billboards along I-15 in Barstow? And I came up with an idea. And I started to do some research, and this may not be why they're there. I would like to think it is. I'm a genius.
You're a genius.
There is an incredible chronic obesity problem amongst truck drivers. And there is a lot of 18-wheeler traffic going through Barstow. And I was thinking, well, maybe this is why, because I couldn't imagine the Inland Empire is that much more obese than any other place on Earth. And I thought, okay, what if one doctor was brave enough to position himself, brand himself as the trucker's lap band specialist? How much more would he stand out from all those other billboards, all those other Me Too doctors offering a Me Too procedure? And I think it would be genius. I mean, I would love to see it happen.
You know, like we had said before, it doesn't, even if you say that, you're not going to stop people who aren't truck drivers from picking up the phone, because you might say, oh my gosh, I recognize that that category has a huge challenge, and if you can knock it out of the park for them, then, you know, I'm going to be a cakewalk. But, you know, it really, it's the focus is daring to say something that not everybody else is saying.
Yeah. Now, when I said, you know, one doctor who's brave enough to do that, it does take courage.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, something you need to remember here, in anything you're doing, you are not trying to create award-winning advertising. You're trying to do one thing. You're trying to connect clearly and emotionally. Now, whatever you're writing, is there an award-winning way to create that same ad? Probably, but that's not your goal. And there are people in ad agencies, you know, the creatives, whose entire focus is on winning awards instead of selling products or services, and they're doing their client a disservice.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, a few times I've been partnered with people like this on a freelance gig, and I literally had somebody say to me on a really important new business pitch, he's like, oh, you know, I love those new HP ads, you know, that got the award for whatever, and, you know, I think if we could do something like that, we could probably get an award. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a long couple of weeks, because, you know, his focus was so insanely off. You know, we can get an award. You know, what would you rather do? Would you rather walk into a party with all your friends and say, hey, I came up with a really clever ad and I got an award? Or would you rather come in and say, hey, I did a really smart piece of communication and my ROI went through the moon?
Yeah, I had an experience when I was working in radio. There was a 60-second commercial that was brought to me because it wasn't working, and it was for an outpatient surgical alternative to CPAP. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what CPAP is, it stands for constant positive airway pressure. And it's a machine that people who have sleep apnea have to attach to their face at night to basically keep them alive. Sleep apnea can kill you. And the first 30 seconds of this 60-second commercial was essentially some writer being as clever as he could be and showing you how funny he was, and all this bad comedy about things like, oh boy, you really hate sleeping with a leaf blower attached to your face. Cue the leaf blower sound effects. Yeah, wah wah. And boy, it doesn't do much for your love life. And I'm reading this and I'm going, this is awful. I mean, you're basically talking about somebody who is dealing with an emotionally painful problem and you're making fun of them. This is not a way to win friends and influence people. So the first thing I did was I threw away the entire first 30 seconds of the commercial. I said to the account rep, I said, forget the 60s, go with 30s. We don't need 60s. And here's what the headline said. You have a CPAP and you hate it. How would you like to get rid of it safely?
You know, I love that. I mean, let's go back to writing a letter to a friend for a second. If you had a friend who had a CPAP, that's exactly how you'd speak to them. You have a CPAP and you hate it. How would you love to get rid of it? And
safely.
Safely. But it's just, without being fancy, it hit the nail on the head, and it was really successful. And that's what you want to walk into your party and say that you've done.
Well, I get to walk into the party and instead of saying, yeah, I wrote some really bad comedy for somebody to see that, I get to say, I quadrupled call volume overnight, which I did, because I stopped trying to exercise my creative ego and did what actually needed to be done in the best interest of the client speaking to the customer. You know, it's very nice to be able to brag about your awards. It's also nice to be able to brag about 2,000% ROI.
Yeah, that's much, much better. If you want to be funny and clever, just, you know, tell a joke.
Yeah, I've done 2,000% ROI, and I'm telling you, it feels really good.
Yeah.
So does winning awards. I've done that. But if I had to pick one, it's the 2,000% ROI.
Every time.
So you're not looking to win awards.
Nope.
Okay, to recap, tone and voice must be consistent in every communication.
And they're defined by your brand.
Okay, you're having a problem figuring out what to say? How do you decide what to say? Go back to telling stories.
Once upon a time.
People are hardwired to hear stories. Stories are basically how our species survives, storytelling. Positive exaggeration, it's allowable if it follows the organic truth of your product or service, but it does need to be handled carefully. And finally, focus is key, not only in your brand, but in your communications. Focus on saying one thing in each short-form communication. In long-form, you can stretch your legs, but make sure you're doing it with purpose.
This has been Pulling Your Brand Out Across All Your Media, the second in the Big Bad Branding Teleseminar series. Copyright 2013 by Blaine and Honey Parker, all rights reserved.